Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
The Volume.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What up, y'all? T-Bob here from Snaps, your new favorite college football show on FanDuel. And it might be getting cold, but the sports calendar is heating up. That's why it's the best time of the year. There's so much different place to bet on, whether you want to bet on the World Cup, you want to bet on the NBA, the NFL, college football, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, easy to use. They have great exclusive offers, boosts. You get paid fast when you win, and they have all the different ways you can play moneyline, over-unders, totals, props, futures. And with live betting, you can jump in even if you get to your phone late. And who doesn't love a good same-game parlay? Plus, FanDuel now live in Maryland. And never forget, that's what Maryland does. Crab cakes, football, and FanDuel. So use promo code SNAPS and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more.
All right, everyone, welcome into Snaps today. No T-Bob. T-Bob is on dad duty, has a little sick daughter. So we brought in the better looking T-Bob, just as good, just as funny, just as entertaining, a lot more knowledgeable, and a badass on the football field. So we went from Georgia LSU to just Georgia, Georgia today on the show. My man up in Bristol, Connecticut today, David Pollack. What's good, brother?
What up, big dog? Hey, speaking of babies, how's little baby girl?
Baby girl is doing good. She's fine, as I'm sure you know, with multiple kids. It's more about baby number one, because a little sense of jealousy right now, a little bit of, you know, manic moments where he wants the attention back on him. So his world is Nicholas, a lot more shocked than ours.
Nicholas was the same way. He tried to play the hide and seek game with a baby. And well, that consisted of putting the pillow on the head of the baby. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. So I think they all have a little bit of that.
Oh man. We just keep trying to like reassure him, like, this is your sister. You're a great big brother. You're going to protect her. You're this, you're that. And he keeps calling her Tatum, which is my sister's daughter. So he keeps like, and he knows, like, he laughs. He's like, oh, it's Tatum. I'm like, no, buddy, that's your sister Miles. But he's just looking for attention. So we'll get it figured out here shortly. You're in good old Reese Davis's house doing a little prep for tonight's show.
Just chilling. Yeah. I mean, there's only one flight to get in, so I had to take the early flight this morning. Otherwise, I couldn't get in for the show and all the stuff we had before. So just chilling at Reese's. Reese went and got his lettuce cut. He got to make sure that coiffure is, you know, beautiful like always. That's a big deal for Reese. Reese loves his hair, so I'm sure he gets it cut once a week or so. But just we're getting ready to talk some football and the rankings and all that stuff tonight.
All right. So for those who obviously watch every Saturday and get to see you on College Game Day, during season, obviously big busy time for you. Give us the breakdown. So David Pollack from Monday to Sunday, and then obviously how it changes a little bit now with this show on Tuesday nights with the rankings.
Yeah, well, I started coaching high school football this year, so that also threw a new wrench, you know, in the schedule. But like, you know, Sunday is defensive meetings, and so we're in the Final Four, North Oconee, for my football team. And so we had, you know, meetings on Sunday night. So I flew home from Columbus, landed, you know, about 6:30-ish. Did our defensive staff meeting, and then we got finished with that around 9 o'clock. Come home, hang out with the fam till they go to bed, and then Monday we have a bunch of stuff with high school football, watching tape. We have our meeting, our game day meeting at 11, from 11 to like 12. You know, got my workout group mixed in there, and then more high school football stuff. And then, you know, Tuesday this morning, flew out to the show today, hang out all day, do the show, fly home Wednesday tomorrow, and then, you know, fly home, land, get a quick workout in with my workout group, and then I'll go to football practice Wednesday. Thursday will be different this week because I'm going to stay Friday for my high school game again like I did last week. And so Thursday we'll all bus to down to Cedartown, Nick Chubb's hometown. We're playing Nick Chubb's team, high school team. We'll go to Cedartown, spend the night in the hotel Thursday, and then Friday be all high school football while prepping for College Game Day and all that stuff in between while trying to keep up with the family. But the good news is, just you know this as well, but the good news is after this week, bro, it's gravy. Like, my schedule becomes, you know, very free for the next couple weeks until we get into college football playoffs later on down the road. So it's definitely a busy time of year. But the good thing about my busy time of the year is it ends and then we get to go do other things.
Yeah. So I always wonder, because I know, Kurt, sometimes you guys are on site. So like, you do your game day and then he'll jump on a plane and go call a game somewhere else. Or, you know, the days where he gets just to stay on site, the call game at that stadium at night. What do you do? Like at 12 o'clock on Saturday, 12 o'clock Eastern, when the show's over, do you usually stay for the game, or are you like, first flight, get me back to Georgia?
It depends. My son goes with me probably 30% of the time. So every 3 weeks he'll come with me, and he loves coming, and we love going to games. So wherever we're at, like, my son will bring a buddy with him to keep him company in the hotel for Friday. And so, you know, like, he came to the Michigan game. So him and his buddy and me went to the game, watched the game, and then we took off after the game. But most of the time, if my family's not with me, I'll try to get home as fast as possible to get back to them. But otherwise, we hang on the bus where we got five glorious TVs on the Home Depot bus, and we just watch all the games at the same time while commenting to each other. And they bring food in there, and we get treated really, really well. So, you know, definitely always keeping up with the games as much as possible. And then when I get home, I always feel like a bad dad too, because I'm like, dude, I need to pay attention. Like, I gotta know what's going on and watch this, you know, as much as I possibly can. And then obviously keeping up with Georgia. I mean, I want to keep up with Georgia more than everybody else too. So you got that fine dynamic of all that stuff going on. But if I can stay, and if my son's with me, then I definitely stay.
So I think I had two weeks this year where I had like a Wednesday, Thursday game. And so I'm home on Saturday, and my wife's like, oh, Aaron's home. I'm, you know, 8 months pregnant. We have a 2-year-old. Aaron can help out. And I'm like, okay, I got Maddox till noon. But then I literally love, like, it's my job to watch college football. Like, I got to watch these games because we do a show late night on Snaps on Saturday night. And she's like, okay, it's cool, cool. 4 o'clock comes around, and she gets really fatigued, as you know, an 8-month pregnant lady. And starts to get really irritated. Like, you have to watch, this is your job. You have to watch these games. You can't watch Maddox. I'm like, baby, I got to watch the games. Like, it's part of the gig. Like,
my job.
I know it sounds part of my job, but yeah. So
it's, yeah, but I will tell you this, Aaron, as somebody who's been in that for a long time, that sell's not going to work regardless. You know, we can say it's our job, but you know, when she's 8 months pregnant, she kind of needs your help, brother. So
we
got to pick and choose our spots and maybe pick and choose games and pick and choose weeks. So you're gonna have more of that coming up too, obviously now. But
or get the babysitter.
So RD's back in the house. I'm gonna let him come in my house again. So
what's up, Reese? Oh, he can't hear you. The headset's on.
Yeah.
Hey, the hair does look good though. The hair does look good.
Oh, he didn't get it cut.
It still looks good though. So yeah, it's just always to perfection. All right, so you're up there in Bristol. Let's get a little preview of the playoffs tonight. Obviously, 1-4 anticipation. Georgia, Michigan, 2. I mean, we'll start with there. Like, is there a chance with the big win versus Ohio State last week, you maybe see the Wolverines moving to the number one spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw, there's some people that have Michigan 1, and I get it. That was a big win at Columbus. They went to Columbus and smashed him in the face, and Reese is raising his hand, so Reese has Michigan, number 1. So I think you could definitely make that argument. I wouldn't make that argument because I think non-conference from that standpoint, Michigan played, a bunch of cupcakes, not real good schedule. Georgia challenges themselves and plays Oregon, and I think that – I mean, they didn't really challenge themselves, but you know what I'm saying. They actually played a pretty decent team. So I would think that Georgia would still be number 1. And I still think Georgia's win over Tennessee was just as impressive as what Ohio State did. But Georgia was at home, so I do take that into account. You could definitely debate who's 1. You could go back and forth with 1 and 2. And then TCU, I think, is pretty clearly going to be 3. And then USC is going to be 4. And then Ohio State's probably going to be sitting at 5, sitting there going, okay – if something happens here with somebody, mainly USC. I think if Ohio State, if you're an Ohio State fan, you probably dislike USC anyways, but you're probably going to dislike them even more this week and be cheering against them.
See, like I'm torn right now on two things. One, does Ohio State, who was at home, had everything perfect from the weather, home field advantage, Corum's out for Michigan, and you get blown out. And you made Michigan look like they could actually throw the football. Like, do they deserve to be at 5 over Ohio, or excuse me, Alabama, who, listen, I don't think either two of them deserve to be in the playoffs at the end of the day, which brings me to like my next point. Like, I think the 4 teams in there right now, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC, should be the 4 teams in the playoff. To me, it's unfair that Ohio State and Alabama get to stay at home, while these other teams that have proven it have to go out there and play another game. Like, do we have a world in that case where TCU and USC could lose but still make it, or is this like essentially a play-in game for both of them?
Okay, so here, answer this question then for me. If that's the way you feel, if USC loses this weekend, who are you putting in the college football playoff then? Who is your top 4 teams?
I still think USC. I think USC to me is proven enough through their schedule, because I'm a believer right now when I look at the college football landscape that the SEC is the number 1 conference. I think the Pac-12 is the number 2 conference. I think the Big 10 and Big 12 are kind of together right there, and then the ACC. Like, I think what I've seen from the Pac-12 this year is like, man, if you can get through that gauntlet to get to 11-1, you have you lose by 1 point on the road against Utah in a very emotional football game. And say it's another close game. Say Utah wins by 3 points again. I still think I've seen enough from USC to say you guys deserve to be in the playoff. And I think TCU, regardless of what happens versus Kansas State, I think Kansas State actually wins the game, but doesn't take the fact away that you went 12-0 in the Big 12 this year. I think both teams should, at the end of the day, should be in it, because I have not been impressed with Alabama, and then Ohio State got blown out by Michigan at home. Like, why do they deserve,
well, I think,
with their schedule this year to get in?
There's a couple things. TCU is a different animal for me because TCU already beat Kansas State. So this is a rematch. So if TCU lost, like, I think they're going to be good regardless. I think 1-3 are good regardless. But one of the things I actually said to Reese at lunch, we're having lunch, I was like, all these teams that are sitting at 1, 2, and 3, they already can say my body of work is clearly better than everybody else's. But I have to play another game. That's not my fault. Like, it's not my fault I'm sitting in this position, have to play another game that any one of those other teams could lose as well. Here's where you lost me a little bit. What are you hanging your hat on? What are you remotely telling me that Alabama belongs in this conversation? What did they do to remotely put them even slightly in that debate, in that conversation?
They haven't. That's why I said neither team deserves to get in there at the end of the day. Like, I think you could throw, if you wanted to, throw Tennessee in the conversation. You know, Tennessee beat Alabama. Tennessee beat LSU. Two teams that they, why is, if Alabama's in the conversation to be potentially at five tonight, five or six, why isn't Tennessee the team that beat them in that same conversation? Is it because Hendon Hooker's out? Is that why?
The committee stipulated years ago when they instituted the committee, they said injuries are taken into account. So I think that's one thing that's kind of a big deal, obviously, with them. But I do think you've also seen the body of work throughout the years. If you get blown out, like, you usually fall down the ladder, and they got blown out by South Kakalaka. Yes. So I think that was a big slap in the face.
But Ohio State just got blown out by Michigan.
Yeah, they got blown. They didn't get blown out like that, and it was Michigan.
They got embarrassed.
So here's the thing. If they did get embarrassed, but if you're a football person, and listen, I thought Michigan was more physical. I thought Michigan was the better team. Now the Corum thing spooked me out. Like, the Corum thing definitely, when I didn't want to pick, I talked myself out of picking Michigan when I said all year long, I thought Michigan was the more physical, was the better team. But the thing is, you know, Michigan made a couple of huge plays in the first half that were explosive plays that you know as well as I do. You don't make those plays very often. Those aren't plays that you count on. Like, and then the second half, they ran the football effectively. Like, I don't look at that game like I look at Tennessee getting the doors blown off of them in South Carolina. Tennessee is a one-sided football team. Tennessee has a great offense that's elite. They don't have a good defense at all. When I look at Ohio State, I think Ohio State has a really good offense. I think they have a good defense, not great, not elite. So here's what things have happened. It's all a beauty contest in the end. It's, do you like the bass? Yeah. Do you like them legs? Or do you like the treble? What is your thing? How do you get down? What makes you comfortable? What is what makes you happy?
How do you view losses then? Like, you talk about blowouts, and obviously the Ohio State game versus Michigan, it was somewhat of a runaway and I would say pretty embarrassing. Alabama's, and everyone's like, oh, they could have lost more games, but they didn't. They did win those games versus Texas, and they did win another close game. And then their losses were pretty damn close. There was 2 points. They make the field goal, they win the game versus Tennessee. They stop the 2-point conversion, they win the game versus LSU. I mean, one score games, 1-point game, four total points is what Alabama is not undefeated for right now. Does it matter how
I love
you win
hearing
or
that.
Lose
I love,
in that situation?
I love when you do that.
I'm just asking. That's what I'm asking. Like, does it matter?
Well, I mean, okay, but here's the thing. You say that, and also Alabama's 1 play away from losing to A&M, 1 play away from losing to Texas, could have lost to Ole Miss. So don't give me that crap. It's a body of work deal, first of all. Like, first of all, metrics are going to go to you. How good is your offense? How good is your defense? Your body of work. Have you looked at Alabama one time this year, watched them, and be like, that's a great team?
No, not one time.
I look at Bryce Young and I go, that dude's unbelievable. Yes. He's so good. Defensively, they've underperformed like crazy. Offensively, they don't have the weapons even remotely on the outside like they used to. Or do they have a passing game or system in place that they've been able to build throughout the season? Any kind of chemistry to make you fear them whatsoever? So, you know, it's interesting. It's just like Clemson. You know, weeks and weeks ago, we're talking about Clemson. I'm like, they're okay. They're pretty good on offense, and they're pretty good on defense. But there's nothing great about them. So to answer your question is, what do you have that separates you from everybody else? Your body of work obviously comes into it. Analytics comes into it. Like, how good are you with metrics wise? Because the computers love Texas for the longest time. But I'm like, wait a minute. Texas, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And Texas repeatedly showed us who they were throughout the season. And I'm like, yeah, I know they got the best talent probably in the Big 12, but I ain't picking them anymore. I said that late in the season. Yeah. I'm like, I'm done with picking Texas. I'll give me TCU. Give me anybody who plays Texas. Like, because I just don't – they'll find a way to lose the football game. So, listen, it's not an exact science. I get it. But I just – the Bama thing is, okay, yeah, they got a couple close losses. They also got a couple close wins. Who the heck is Bama beat that you're impressed with, by the way?
No. I'll frame it like this. But who's – besides Penn State, who has Ohio State really played this year too? They've played two games. Notre Dame's a good win. I wouldn't say a great win. I would say that's like a normal Alabama win right now. But Ohio State's beat Penn State. Congratulations. But then you lost at home to Michigan. So, like, to me, it goes back to what the original statement was for me. I don't think either team deserves to get in. I still think I think you and I both agree. Georgia, Michigan, TCU are in. Those three are locked, regardless of what happens this weekend. USC's the big one that everyone's going to focus on Friday night. I'm in the belief that regardless of what happens, because if it's a close game, they get blown out by Utah, different story. But if it's a close game and you lose a one-score game, I still think USC's body of work is superior to Ohio State's body of work, who got to sit at home this weekend and not play a football game.
And I think maybe I like your argument, and I like what you're saying it from, because I like what you're saying is you feel like the Pac-12 is a really, really, really strong conference. And so yes. I think that's where you're coming from. I might not necessarily – like, I don't think Utah's a good team. I don't at all. I don't look at Utah and see anything discernible. They lost to Florida in the swamp.
Yeah.
Florida, mm-hmm. who is very ungood, okay? We can call it whatever you want. They're ungood. They're not good at all. So I don't look at Utah. I think Oregon State's a very – I think they're a good team for what they can be. They're physical. They run the ball. But they're – like – they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't look at the Pac-12 in the same breath as you look at the Pac-12. I don't think they're the second best conference. I would put literally, I think the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the Big 10, like at least the Big 10 have a couple of really, really good teams at the top. But besides that, like, I don't see a lot of greatness in any of those. I don't see a lot of greatness in college No. football this year, period. But obviously there's a No. few conferences where you at least – you got your LSUs who are really, they're good teams. They're not great teams either, but they're teams that have more talent than 90% of teams in the country that can still beat you. So yeah. I think that might be where we differ a little bit.
Well, the SEC's down too, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the SEC, look at the West this year. I mean, the West and the SEC took a significant drop. I think the East is good. Obviously, South Carolina emerging as a contender in Tennessee has elevated that side of the SEC. But I think from top to bottom, the SEC is nowhere as dominant as they've been in years past. And I think it goes back to what you said. Like this year, if you're a Michigan fan, a USC fan, a TCU fan, like you can win a national championship this year. Like there isn't a dominant conference, a conference that is head and heels better than anyone else. And I don't think there's a football team that necessarily is like, we can give you the natty. Or as good as what we've seen in years past. I think the SEC is still the cream of the crop. I think the players are better than the SEC. I think the coaches are better than the SEC. But I think from top to bottom, I don't think the SEC has been as good as they've been in years past. No.
Maybe not, but you got four or five teams in the SEC that they're obviously – like you go take Alabama and you put them in another conference, they're probably going to win that conference. I mean, yeah.
Let's have that conversation then.
SEC's clearly.
If you put Alabama in the Big Ten and you replace Ohio State's schedule and have Alabama play, what would they be? And then if you flipped it over, what would Ohio State be with Alabama's schedule? Would Ohio State beat Tennessee at Tennessee? Would they beat LSU at night and in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting debate. Well, the one thing I do think is I do think Alabama would easily have Ohio State's record. I'd be confident in saying that they would be at most probably a one loss team. But I don't know what Ohio State would be with that because you know, you're breaking in a new defense. I think Ohio State's secondary is extremely questionable. They're going to have, you know, if they get in the playoffs, they're going to have a tough time covering people. They struggle to cover Michigan's passing attack that isn't great either. So I think that further shows you that the SEC is stronger than you probably thought it was, or probably than we think it is. But I think those are fun debates, man. I love being able to do those kind of things and just try to randomly select those teams. But I mean, if you look at Ohio State, I think it's important to keep in mind Notre Dame going in this week was a top 15 team. That game was not competitive. Ohio State was never worried about losing that football game.
No.
Ohio State beat the brakes off of Penn State in the end. It was a close game for three quarters. They beat the slot out of them, and they beat them at Penn State, which is, again, the hardest thing to do in college football is to go on the road. So they at least have two quality wins. They at least have two things you can point to that are pretty dang good. The committee absolutely is going to look at quality wins. Quality wins is important. Quality, the strength of record is going to be important. All that stuff comes into play. So that's where you start comparing Ohio State and anybody else, whether it be a one-loss USC, and obviously they're ahead of them already, a two-loss Alabama, all those people. I think it's going to stack up pretty well because of having the Penn State win and having the Notre Dame win on the resume.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What up, y'all? You looking to get more out of this NFL season? Well, check it out. Now is the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook. T-Bob here from The Volume's new college football show, Snaps. You should definitely listen. You should also download the sportsbook because new customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. So what that means is, yeah, for your first bet, you bet up to $1,000, and if you lose, you'll get free bets back in that same amount, okay? So all you do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And then, look, I don't care if you want to bet, well, really anything, NFL, college football, World Cup, whatever the case may be. But even, like, do you come late? Do you want to do same-game parlays? Do you want to bet on it live? Do you want to do futures, spreads, anything and everything? It is all there for you. And even you know, if you want to get real crazy, like, what will the next play be? It'll be a runner pass. Things like that. Like, they have every way that you could play there on FanDuel. Never forget, FanDuel now also live in Maryland. So, Marylanders, make sure you get on the action with great offers, boosts just for you. Okay, just for you. Call them the Blue Crab Boosts. They don't, but I do, and they should if they don't. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in free bets when you join FanDuel, promo code SNAPS. That's promo code SNAPS. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
All right, well, we will get more of your thoughts tonight. Make sure y'all tune in to watch David on ESPN. I want to flip it real quick before we let you go to the coaching carousel, which is now in full go. Your initial thoughts on two of the big hires there at Auburn with Hugh Freeze and then Matt Rhule there. And even let's throw Luke Fickell in there. I know you're probably a big fan of Luke Fickell and what he's done at Cincinnati. Your initial thoughts, those three big hires, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and then at Auburn.
Well, I think the first one that happened obviously was going obviously Nebraska. And when you look at Nebraska and you look at Matt Rhule and what he's accomplished, Matt Rhule's a program builder. Matt Rhule built a program out of Temple that was in the cellar for forever. Matt Rhule went to Baylor when Baylor was in a bad, bad way, you know, fresh off of all the stuff that happened with Briles and took him and built a program. Matt Rhule can take people and develop them and make, you know, three stars, four stars. I think that's really, really important for Nebraska. Nebraska's not going to get the best of the best. Those days are gone. They're not going to do that. They need to be a program that can program build, that can be physical, that can win that kind of brand really in the Big Ten. So I think it's a really, really good hire. I think Satterfield's a good hire for his OC too, that he took from South Carolina. I think that's a good start for him. When I look at Hugh Freeze, I know Hugh Freeze has the background that people point to in what happened. He also has the background of beating Alabama a couple times when he was with Ole Miss. He has the background of being a player's coach that can recruit. He has the background of developing his players. He has a track record of developing quarterbacks, no matter who they are, what they are, where they're from, what kind of style they are. He can take them and he can be successful. I think Auburn's a tough place to be successful. I can't sit here and tell you that he's going to be successful because there's so many chefs in the kitchen at Auburn. And until that changes, like, I don't know that anybody can be successful. So I can't sit here and give him a stamp and say, this is a phenomenal hire. This, because a lot has to go right. I think I don't look at his past and say he doesn't deserve another job. Dude, we're all screwed up, okay? We all got jacked up closets. We all got things we've done that are stupid. I think you learn a lot from it. I think he's learned a lot from it. He's proved what he can do at Liberty. And then who was the third one we talked about? Oh, Fickell.
Oh, Luke Fickell, okay. Baby.
Fickell. It's important.
Pickle. Did you just say Pickell?
No, I said Fickell. I mean, I can say Pickell if you want me to. Luke Pickell. I think it's important the timing. Like, I think Luke Fickell got out of Cincinnati and went to where he's going to a job that he knows he's going to have plenty of finances, plenty of support. They're in the Big Ten. You know, the future of Cincinnati is a little bit differently. You know, you go into the Big 12, and right now he plays at Cincinnati. He's used to having better players and, you know, builds it. He's got that physical, tough brand the way he builds it. So I think going to Wisconsin, it fits. Listen, it's still going to be hard to beat Ohio State and now Michigan that they got rolling. But I think Luke Fickell will bring Wisconsin back to what we're accustomed to Wisconsin being, and that's being bullies, being physical, you know, and being guys and being the next team in the Big Ten, not all these other teams that sporadically pop up. And the Big Ten West is like spinning the wheel of destiny every year. Like who's going to win that side of the division. And I think, you know, Luke Fickell can take that, develop it. If he hires a good staff, he's got now good experience. I think he's a pretty good hire too.
All right, so before it's about to be 2, I just hit 2 o'clock here. Go Team USA, as USA is about to try to advance into the next round there. Before we let you go real quick.
Soccer fan, huh? You're a soccer fan?
I'm a USA fan, of course. If USA
exactly.
Is on,
but you only watch soccer. You only watch soccer when you wrap an American flag in it, though. That's a fact.
100%. I've been to a couple of United games. They are fun. They've been fun, though. All right. Does Georgia repeat this year, real quick before we let you go?
Man, I think it's going to be tough because if you're watching Georgia right now, you're watching them. They're not clicking on all cylinders offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think they're back to a point where do we trust Stetson to let it rip and it be the game plan where we can go chuck the ball all over the yard, you know, like you started the season. I think A.D. Mitchell coming back and being healthy has got to be a big deal because he's an animal on the outside. They got to get hot. They got to get hot like they did last year. Last year, you know, it was kind of sputtering offense, kind of good, kind of average. By the way, the parallels between last year are insane because receiver position, how great are they? Tight end room still very strong. Look at the running backs.
Yep.
You know, last year what you had at running back is exactly the same thing. You had Cook. You had Zeus. Now you got Milton, you got McIntosh, you kind of got different Edwards, you got different flavors. Who's going to get hot? Like, I just, I think that offensively, they're going to have to catch a stride and they're going to have to get hot because they've been struggling offensively. They haven't been super explosive of late, and they're going to have to figure that out and get it together. They're the best team. You know, you think about every game they play, Jalen Carter is going to be the best defensive player on the field. Brock Bowers is going to be the best offensive player on the field. Like, they've got a great chance. And now maybe outside of Caleb Williams, cause he's been freaky Friday. Good. Unbelievable. So he's been insane, but I think they're going to be talent-wise just as good as everybody else and in a great position. They're just going to have to get that offense firing on all cylinders.
All right. Well, Pollock, enjoy. Thanks for jumping on, first off. Enjoy tonight. I want to thank Ryan Brumley, our producer, Papa Collins, for making this happen. Oh, and by the way, the Snaps gear, for those watching right now, the Snaps gear is out. Go on the website, The Volume. Brumley will put the link up there. Go support your boys. Show Papa Colin that you care about the show with T-Bob and I. Get some swag. We're going to have to send Pollock some swag. And the kiddos rocking the Snaps. And
Snaps!
Yeah, that's it. Snaps, baby. We out. See you tomorrow. Hopefully T-Bob will be back. See y'all.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.